Register Radio is sponsored by Ignatius Press, the premier publisher of outstanding Catholic books, magazines, videos, and music, faithful to the magisterium of the Church, on the web at ignatius.com.
From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, Jeanette DeMello talks with Colleen Carol Campbell about her award-winning book, My Sisters, the Saints, as well as her new position as news anchor of EWTN News Nightly. Also, Dan Burke is here. He'll be talking with author Heather King about her new book, Shirt of Flame, which chronicles a year spent in spiritual companionship with St. Thérèse of Lisieux. Heather's journey offers a compelling path to bringing faith into secular culture. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Jeanette DeMello, editor-in-chief of the Register. Hi, Jeanette.
Hello, Tom.
And Dan Burke, executive director of the Register.
It's great to be with you, Tom.
Our first guest, Colleen Carol Campbell, is an award-winning author and journalist. She also served as the only female speechwriter for President George W. Bush. Colleen is the television host of EWTN's weekly program, Faith and Culture. As you'll recall, she anchored EWTN's coverage of the Papal Conclave, and her new show, EWTN News Nightly with Colleen Carol Campbell, will debut on September 3rd. Colleen is author of The New Faithful, Why Young Adults Are Embracing Christian Orthodoxy, and her newest book, My Sisters the Saints, a spiritual memoir, earned her a Christopher Award in May. So congratulations, and Colleen, welcome to Register Radio.
Thanks so much for having me.
Colleen, now there's so much that I want to talk to you about today. You just moved your family out to D.C. to start a new job with EWTN. But first, let's talk about your newest book. I hear congratulations are in order for the Christopher Award you won last month. Tell us about that award.
Well, that's an award given by the Christophers, which is longstanding. I think this is their 64th year, and their goal is to lift up works both in print and the broadcast media that are uplifting and that affirm the highest values of the human spirit. So it's a wonderful organization, the Christophers. They really focus on accentuating the positive rather than simply criticizing what they don't like in the media landscape and in print and in Hollywood. So I was honored to be the recipient of a Christopher Award for My Sisters, the Saints, which is my new book.
Yeah, that's really great. It was a very uplifting book. Now, your first book that you wrote about 10 years ago in 2002, The New Faithful, was a journalistic endeavor. You reported on a movement of young people towards faith, and you analyzed why they were making that seemingly countercultural move. Now, in this book, My Sister the Saints, it's a very different style. It's very personal. It's a memoir. Why did you write a memoir?
Well, you know, it was funny. I didn't set out to write a memoir exactly, but I was very attracted to the themes that this book explores because I grappled with them in my own life, and particularly, you know, as a woman trying to make sense of both my Christian faith and a culture shaped by contemporary feminism, and at times in my life thinking that my faith would be an impediment to to experiencing fulfillment and liberation as a woman, and gradually coming to discover that the faith really was an avenue to liberation for me, and that the women saints became real models for me of what it means to be a truly free and fulfilled woman in Christ. And that was a discovery that I didn't make just in one step, but it was over a period of years and really 15 plus years as the book chronicles. So I started out wanting to sort of share some of those truths I discovered, but I found as I began to write that there was really no way to share the truths without explaining how I personally came to discover them, which is through the circumstances of my life and my friendships with these six women saints whom I chronicle in My Sisters the Saints.
Sure. Now, it's a very interesting thing that you found consolation in these women who many people wouldn't even, you know, think to turn to the saints. You begin this journey by asking a question: Is there more? Is there more than what I'm living right now? What were you experiencing when you asked that question, and how did you come to find the answer in a saint?
Well, I was a college student at Marquette University, and I was sort of doing the work hard, play hard college life. I was checking the math checking the box by going to Mass on Sunday, but that's about all I was doing in terms of the faith that had been more important to me in childhood and in my childhood home, but had kind of become compartmentalized when I got to college. And I was more focused on my resume and, you know, going to parties and just doing the whole college scene. And there came a point late in my college career where I realized I was just feeling lost and empty, and all of the things that were supposed to make me happy and fulfilled and free weren't making me feel that way. I felt rudderless, and I found myself wondering if that had something to do with my relationship with God, which had really, as I said, just become compartmentalized and taken up a smaller and smaller portion of my life until really it was very much on the sidelines. And so that began those questions. Didn't lead me immediately to the Women's Saints. I, in fact, enrolled in a secular feminist philosophy course. I pursued other options to try to find answers. But in the end, it was a biography my father gave me of St. Teresa of Avila, which I read practically in one sitting over my Christmas break, my senior year in college. It just captivated me. Here was this woman I thought I would not be able to relate to because, after all, she's a saint and she's always pictured with her halo and, you know, writing her mystical treatises. Right. And instead, I found she was a woman who really struggled, was almost 40 by the time she sort of got her act together, spiritually speaking, struggled a lot with worldliness and a lot of the temptations I recognized in myself. And yet she found in Jesus the right way to sort of direct all that natural passion and energy she had in a way to find fulfillment that lasted forever, not simply for a few hours or days or weeks. So in Teresa, I saw a model of maybe what I could aspire to be someday if I ever took God seriously enough to try. And that launched this spiritual journey that eventually took me to several other women saints. And the list continues even after I wrote My Sisters the Saints in terms of new women saints that I discover, you know, every few months, every few years, new friends in heaven that I come to see have struggled with so many of the things that I struggle with and have emerged victorious, which is what the saints offer us, is a real path to victory.
You know, Colleen, one of the things that really struck me about your book, just personally, I mean, there are many things, but one is that you seem to inherit this disposition for seeking the saints or finding them in your life because you saw your parents do that. And they had a relationship with the saints, a deep relationship with God through personal daily prayer. And, you know, I witnessed that in my own life. And I think it's really just a beautiful part of your story, the witness of your parents. And this can be a real example to, you know, parents who are out there wondering if they're really influencing their kids.
That's right. My parents were daily communicants. Our home was, you know, filled to the brim with books about and by the saints. You know, that was the heart of their most intense and passionate conversations were always about the spiritual life and their own journeys and what they were learning from the books they were reading. And so I saw that modeled, and even though, as I said, I went through a period in college where my faith was very much to the side of my concerns and not a very integrated part of my life, I knew in the back of my mind that fulfillment had something to do with seeking God's will. That's something I had been taught since I was young, and I saw in my parents a level of peace and serenity that I knew when I was in college I didn't have. And so I had a sense that even though I had my doubts and I was skeptical about how much I might relate to these saints myself, I did have that model. And I often tell parents that who get concerned about their college-age children or young adult children who seem to be drifting from the faith. You know, there's certainly reason for concern, reason to pray. But it's also important to remember that when you show your children a good example, that sort of gets stored somewhere in their memory, and it can come back to them at times when they really need it. So you never know what they're picking up, even if it looks like they haven't been paying attention. It might be that they have been paying attention. It's just they're not quite ready to exercise the wisdom they've gleaned from you, and they will down the road. So it's a wonderful resource you give your children when you model the faith to them, even if you don't see them immediately picking up on the lessons.
This is Jeanette DeMello with Register Radio. I'm speaking with Colleen Carol Campbell about her new book, My Sisters, the Saints. Now, Colleen, you know, I imagine that many people can identify with the experiences you chronicle. You were navigating a licentious world in college. Later on, you were balancing professional ambition with the desires for marriage and family. You struggled with a family illness, your father's Alzheimer's. And you even struggled with the challenges of infertility. I imagine you've heard from many people who have identified with your struggles and your journey. Can you tell us about the feedback that you've had on your book?
Well, I've been really heartened and humbled by the feedback on My Sisters the Saints. You know, I got a lot of good feedback on The New Faithful, my first book, and some of it was personal in nature, but with My Sisters the Saints, it's been at a whole different level in terms of the willingness of readers, and especially usually women, to write to me and share with me their own struggles and how this book helped them and how meeting these saints through this book has helped them and how many Catholic women especially are struggling with a lot of the issues that I did and that I articulated in My Sisters the Saints. So, you know, if I had just gotten one or two of the letters I've gotten along the lines that I have, it would have been enough to make this book worthwhile. But I've really just been inundated with some really beautiful feedback. And I don't think it's about me specifically. What I think it's about is the power of these women saints to speak to us wherever we are in our journey and to show us the way toward peace and fulfillment that the world can't give. And so I'm just really heartened that this book seems to have touched a chord with many readers and especially many women, and that it also mm-hmm. seems to be leading many of them to take a second look at saints whom they might have originally dismissed as too goody-two-shoes to do them any good. So if it can be sort of a gateway drug to devotion to the saints, I'm very happy for it to fulfill that function.
Well, it certainly has encouraged me. I couldn't put it down. I read it in basically one night. So great book, and I recommend it to everybody. Now, let's talk a little bit about your newest endeavor. You know, 10 years ago, you wrote The New Faithful, and that led to a new job in the White House working for President Bush. And here, 10 years later, you're moving back. You moved back to Washington, D.C., and you're starting a new endeavor. And this one is EWTN News Nightly with Colleen Carroll Campbell. Tell us about this new program.
Well, we're very excited about it, and it is a very new endeavor for EWTN. It's the network's first ever nightly newscast. It'll be broadcast not only across America but throughout the English-speaking world, and it'll be on, you know, five nights a week. The slot at this point it's 6 p.m. Eastern, but I think we're going to re-air it later in the evening too, so our West Coast viewers get to see it at dinner hour. And basically we aim to bring the best news and commentary from across America and around the world to our viewers, and specifically to do so through a Catholic lens. So to help our viewers make sense of so many of the contentious and often complicated debates of our age, by hearing from the sharpest minds and Catholic thinkers as to how we should think about these debates, what are the different points of view we should be considering, and how does our Catholic faith inform the way we look at the world. You know, we're flooded with information these days, and we know especially with the Internet there's no lack of information, but we still need help analyzing it, parsing it, and making sense of it, and that's really what the Nightly News Bulletin has often, you know, that it's long been the function of a nightly news bulletin. But what we haven't seen is one that comes from an explicitly Catholic perspective, and that's what we aim to do. So this isn't a partisan show. We're not coming from the left or the right. Our only and very unabashed allegiance is to our Catholic faith. So we want to present the news straight up, but then we also plan to have a commentary segment, probably the second half of the show, where we're really going to parse over the day's stories and ask how do we consider these from a Catholic perspective? What as Catholics are we called to do and to think about when we look at these issues through the lens of our faith?
Very well said. We have a common mission, you know, with the Register and this new news program. We can't wait to work together with you. And I would like to have you, when the show's about to start, I'd love to have you back on and talk a little bit more about it. But thank you so much for sharing with us today. And I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you very much. Great to be with you.
My thanks as well, Colleen. We are definitely praying for a wonderful launch for the program. And when we return, we will talk about how you can bring your faith into the secular culture. It's not as impossible as you might think. We're going to talk about this with author Heather King. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Michael Warsaw. chief executive of EWTN and publisher of the National Catholic Register. We're in a time in history like no other, and our fight for religious freedom and the need for the new evangelization, it's essential to stay connected via the faithful Catholic content delivered by the Register. We've finally been able to help realize Mother Angelica's dream. She always wanted a newspaper as part of EWTN's media apostolate. Why? Because there's an important catechetical opportunity at the intersection of faith and culture. Since the 1920s, the Register has been advancing the truth of the Magisterium. This valuable resource will help you to better understand the faith and deepen your relationship with our Lord. Join the growing ranks of Register subscribers today and access the one source of leading voices and opinions concerning the issues that matter most to you.
To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register or call 800-854-6316. That's EWTN.com and click on the Register subscription banner or call 800-854-6316.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
Our next guest, Heather King, is a writer and nationwide speaker with three memoirs. The first is called Parched, the second, Redeemed, and her newest book, Shirt of Flame, A Year with St. Thérèse of Lisieux. She also writes for Magnificat and has been a featured writer for Father Robert Barron's Word on Fire apostolate. Heather describes herself as a sober alcoholic, an ex-lawyer, and a Catholic convert. So she's got a lot to say. Heather, welcome to Register Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Heather, it's great to have you with us. It's been a joy to get to know you a bit preparing for the show and reading your book, A Shirt of Flame, which I recommend to everybody. It's just a fantastic work. But where I wanted to start, Heather, is what was the motivation behind writing Shirt of Flame? Where has Thérèse of Lisieux been central in your new faith?
Well, actually, the idea came when Paraclete Press approached me and asked me if I'd be interested in writing a book about walking, quote-unquote, with a saint for a year. And I said yes. And I thought of St. Thérèse partly because it's such an unlikely pairing. St. Thérèse, as you all may know, lived from 1873 to 1897, this virginal, cradle Catholic, holy young girl who knew her vocation from the time she was a child. And my life has been a very, very different life. I was 20 years as a falling down, blackout, drunk, a bar fly, very promiscuous. And so, of course, I have a very different life now, but so I loved and I live in the middle of Los Angeles, 21st century Los Angeles, so I liked the seemingly unlikely pairing, but what I found, of course, was an incredible confluence of the parallels of how our hearts all meet in Christ, no matter what our station in life, where we live, that our life is the inner hidden life that's on fire with love of Christ and all the sort of tragicomedy that ensues as we make our way through the very secular world.
Now, you talk about in your introduction the little way, and which Thérèse is so famous for. You have a quote there that I thought was fascinating and made me smile. You said, "I think we all have a sigh of relief when we hear of the little way. When we try to practice it, though, we tend to find that the way is not so little, or rather not so easy. We see that the little way is grounded in a great paradox, great complexity, and great labor." Just a moment ago, you captured this common conflict that we all have. Thérèse, in the confines of the cloister, in many ways shared the same battles that we do out in the world. Have you found that to be the case?
Oh, absolutely. Because as humans, we all share the same battles, and especially, of course, as followers of Christ. And I think Thérèse's little way, I think it's important to remember, this is not a new way. It's not a unique way that she herself, it's the way of Christ that is so difficult to follow. Narrow is the gate. And I think it's remarkable that this French schoolgirl who died at the age of 24 was basically, she was intelligent, but she was not highly educated. She is one of the three women who've been made doctors of the church, and she did that in an obscure, austere cloister with a lot of painting with a broad brush, a lot of sort of neurotic nuns. And isn't this the life of all of us? That's our family. That's our employers. That's the people we work with. That's our friends. We all have our little circle, our little cloister of people. At the same time, let's also not forget, cloister is just the frame within which we get to die to ourselves and come alive and awake in Christ and flower.
Meaning that cloister, just to repeat a little bit of what you said, the cloister, as we talk about it here, is the circle of people that God's put us in connection with as we grow towards Him. And they're the people that test us, encourage us, try our patience, give us inspiration. It's the same inside or outside the walls, isn't it?
Yes. And I think that our, quote, enemy is often, we tend to think of the enemy as someone halfway across the world with another religion, but I think the real enemy that we deal with all the time is our husband or our next-door neighbor who plays their music too loud, or our kid who won't clean up his or her room. I don't have children, but... yes, and this is who we get to forgive 7, 8 times 7. This is who we get to look at how incredibly black our hearts can become at these people who we purport to love. So that's the real challenge.
This is Dan Burke with Register Radio, and we're talking with Heather King, author of Shirt of Flame, A Year with St. Thérèse of Lisieux. Heather, with respect to the Little Way, how has it helped you? I mean, as you say, you live in the midst of a very secular culture. I was born in Arcadia and grew up in L.A. in the suburbs, and I was just there speaking last week in San Dimas, and I was struck and reminded by that concrete jungle, if you will, of Los Angeles. How is it that Thérèse has helped you to navigate that jungle a little bit better?
Well, first of all, I do want to say I don't think L.A. is any more secular than anywhere else, and it's actually a very Catholic city in many ways. Obviously, its name means City of the Angels. Lots and lots of Catholic churches. However, I mean, the Little Way, I think a misconception about the Little Way is that it means that we see God and we live with God even in our tiniest actions. And though that's part of it, the Little Way, to me, the way I understand it, is really utter, utter surrender, total abandonment to Christ, realizing by myself I can do nothing. Just as he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. And that's the battle, because I think we all tend to think, okay, I'll let God in here, 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 and here, but not here I'm in charge. Here I know best. Here, of course God wants this because I want it. But what we're really wanting is for us to shine. And I think the way of Christ is so counter-cultural, so counterintuitive. It says our hidden life in Him that appears many times not to be bearing fruit in this world. Don't worry. It will bear fruit in His way and in His time. And Thérèse is a perfect example. Millions, everyone knows who she is now, but let's not forget, no one knew who she was during her lifetime, and she had no way of knowing the incredible following that she would have after she died. She lived and died in complete obscurity, with her heart, though, on fire, wanting to be a missionary, a martyr, wanted to be boiled in oil. She's just a wonderful example of let that fire burn as hard as you can in your heart and live out Christ to your smallest moment. It will bear fruit.
Well, Heather, we're coming down to a last few minutes, and it's much too little time to talk about this, but I asked our readers on my blog to give us a couple questions. Here's the first one. What is the simplest way to grow and develop in a little way to great love and mercy. This is from Patricia. What are some practical spiritual steps a little soul can take to follow the little way to great love and mercy?
I think it's the old school, the only way, the old way, the new way, the sacraments. I go to daily Mass as often as I can. I pray the office every morning. Confession, of course. I think this life of prayer, reflect in the Gospels, read the liturgy every day, reflect on them. And I'm also lucky enough, I got sober and have stayed sober for 26 years with a group of a fellowship that is very much geared toward, let's take the beam out of our own eye before we start trying to take the mote out of our neighbor's eye. It's all about my examination of conscience, not how to get everyone else how to act the way I think they should.
All right, this last question will be easy for you, and then tell us where folks can find your book. Joan says, I love the book Shirt of Flame, bringing St. Therese's spirituality into my own today. Heather used an approach that was simple and helpful to meditate on. My question is she going to write a similar book on Teresa of Avila?
You know, I have to say, Teresa of Avila doesn't set me on fire the way Therese of Lisieux does. I think we just all sort of have a sensitivity or a sensibility to certain saints. So if I wrote another book, it would be on St. Francis, St. Maximilian Kolbe. Those are two saints that I really, really admire very much.
Well, fantastic. Where can folks find out more about you, Heather?
My blog, Shirt of Flame, that's one word, shirtofflame.blogspot.com.
Okay.
I'm all over the internet. You can buy my books on Amazon. I have a website. And Magnificat, I have a monthly essay. So I'm not too hard to find.
Shirtofflame.blogspot.com, and we'll make sure we put that up in the summary on ncregister.com. Thanks for being with us, Heather.
Thank you so much, Dan.
Thank you, Heather. Don't forget, you can listen to our show again by going to ncregister.com. Be sure to look for the picture of the microphone to listen to or download the show. Hey, thanks for joining us this time on Register Radio. For all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Register Radio is sponsored by Ignatius Press, the premier publisher of outstanding Catholic books, magazines, videos, and music, faithful to the magisterium of the Church. On the web at ignatius.com.